Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Thomas Village Baptist Church. If you're a visitor, if you're a regular, you're welcome anyway. And we love you, and we know God loves you, but we love you also. So please love us back, okay? I have a few announcements to make. Several of them are concerning Bible school. Next Thursday will be a starting work day for decorations here at the church on Thursday, 10 o'clock. So if you're willing and can come to help decorate for Bible school, please do so. There's a signet sheet over here down the side toward the bathroom for desserts. People bring desserts for Bible school, the meal they prepare. So if you can make a dessert one day or several days, please put your name on that list. If you can do it every day, just put your name all the way up through there. I don't plan on doing that, but my wife might. We need van drivers for the Bible school and riders. Now, you might not can drive the van, but you can sure ride in it with whomever gets picked up. So we do need riders and drivers. Let Vanessa know. Not Vanessa. Sorry.
I should you get back with you.
I got the wrong generation. I'm sorry. But anyway, let our director know that you can help drivers ride with the driver. Also, church council meeting will not meet tonight. We'll meet next week. And the deacons will not meet Monday night. We'll meet next week. Is there any other announcements? That it? Thank you, and God bless you, and I hope you have a blessed day. And
Do remember Miss Betty Bledsoe. Brother Gary's had to take her to the ER this morning. It's looking like she may have appendicitis, and so just lift her up. And we'll be in Luke chapter 18 again this morning.
And if you're not having a good day today, just think of all the people that are in the hospital, and you're not.
Amen.
Think of all the people that are in assisted living and nursing homes, and you're not. So if you don't have any blessings, count those three things right there. So let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for loving us another day. We thank you for the beauty that you prepared around us. You painted up your creation beautifully, as you always do. And we thank you for it. We thank you for loving us this day. We pray that you be with our church family, those that are here and those that couldn't be here. We pray, Lord, for Miss Betty Bledsoe in her situation today. We pray for our pastor. Be with him, Lord, as he speaks and teaches to us what thus saith the Lord. And we thank you again for our church family, and thank you for the love we feel with each other, most of all, the love we feel with you in fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Thank you for loving us another day and blessing us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Yeah, we got many blessings, and we got the blessings where we can stand and sing to the Lord. So let's all stand and sing number 379. Brethren, we have met to worship.
Thank you.
Turn back to number 4. To God be the glory. Number 4.
Yeah. Thank you. choir and congregation, and it's good to have Sister Ernestine back, isn't it? Grateful that the Lord's brought her through. Again, it's good to be with you today. If you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 18, and we'll be continuing on with the series that we began back in about 2 weeks ago, I think it was May 21st, on the right attitude. And then we were in Luke chapter 18, verses 9 through 14, where we focused on the Pharisee and the tax collector. And tonight we'll wrap up the series going back to that and looking at wanting to answer this one main question. What is the major difference between the Pharisee and the tax collector? When we look at them, because we see what Jesus does there as you're turning to Luke 18, beginning in verse 15, what Jesus is doing there, like he all does often, is he uses a compare and a contrast. That means that they're similar in some ways, but they're different in some ways, and you use that information to come to a right decision. And so tonight we're going to find the one major difference between the Pharisee and the Sadducee. Again, it's good to be with you, and if you don't remember anything about today, do remember that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus, and if you'll let him, he'll do even greater things in your life and in the lives of those around you. Also, I want to say thank you, Thomas Village, for allowing me to take a week off and go down to Orlando. And if you know if I've been in Orlando, you know my wife, that means I've walked 100 miles this week. And so I asked me if I had Mickey ears, and I've come to the conclusion, no, I had goofy feet. I could swell up, and I'm no longer going to stand in line for 2 hours for a five-minute ride. It just ain't going to happen. But had a good time with my family, and thankful for that. And thankful to Officer Lane and Jacob for filling in the pulpit, also Brother Paul, and much grateful for the time off. And I do want to say, before I give you the opportunity to give your praise reports for the week, we're coming up on summer. We're in it right now, and that means we're going to be hit or miss. All of us are going to be traveling. We're going to be going. But if you can commit to the 1 week of Vacation Bible School, that is our time during summer. That's our biggest evangelistic effort. And we're going back full throttle this year. We're going to be focusing on the armor of the Lord and fighting the good fight. And so I challenge you, if you can, commit to being here, if not every night, at least when you can, okay? But again, thankful for the time you've allowed me to have off as you're turning to Luke chapter 18. Is there anyone else that has a word of praise or testimony this morning? Amen. Amen. There's a lot going through it around Thomas Village right now. Many families are taking a hard lick. Did I see another? Amen. Amen. I called them Mr. and Mrs. John and Lexi Roten on Friday night. And so thank God we got Franklin out last night. Anybody else? A word of praise or testimony? Amen. Anyone else? You sure? Amen. I tell you what, we see the end times encroaching more and more upon us. I believe that the family of God is going to be more and more important in our lives. Anybody else? How about an answered prayer? Amen. Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord. Sister? Amen. Anyone else? I'm thankful it ain't as humid up here as it is in South Florida, buddy. I'm sweating this morning, but not like I was down there. All right, if you would stand with me in the honor of God's Word, Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 15. This will be very familiar scripture, but if we had a title, it would continue on with the right attitude, a child's attitude. Luke chapter 18, verse 15. If you're there, say amen. And they brought unto him, Jesus, also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. And Jesus called unto them and said, Suffer the little children, or allow the children to come to me, and forbid them not. For such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be back in your house with your people. Heavenly Father, Lord, it's good to be gone, but there's no place like home, I believe is what the movie said. And God, I thank you, Heavenly Father, Lord, for those that are here today, those like our brothers and sister Lexi and John that are traveling, and the new relationship you've brought them into. But Lord, as the song said, Lord, we need the Holy Spirit to come down. All is vain and all is useless unless the Holy Spirit comes down. So Holy Spirit, you're invited into this place. I pray you forgive me of my sins and my failures. I ask you to take the Word of God and use it like the manna from above, and let it feed our souls, let it feed our spirit, let it feed our heart and mind, and let us be changed by the truth of your Word. And Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask you to do this in Jesus' name, not only for us to be edified, but Lord, for your name to be glorified. And Lord, again, I thank you and I praise you, and it's in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read this to you again from another translation, but I want you to think about something. This week I heard a statement that said this, that our belief system needs to be rehearsed in our lives, meaning that we need to hear it, we need to see it, we need to say it, because if we're not regularly rehearsing it, then are we truly going to practice it? You understand? Because there's nothing good within us. There's no moral righteousness that lies within us. It has to come from outside of us. It comes through the person of the Holy Spirit. When we're saved, He moves inside of us. But then He takes the truth of His Word as He rehearses it in our hearts and minds, and then we live it out on a daily basis. And so I challenge you, if you've read the Bible 100 times, read through it again, because it's through the Word that faith and application comes. The right attitude, a child's attitude. Some people were even bringing infants to him so that he might touch them. But when the disciples saw it, they rebuked them. Jesus, however, invited them, saying, Let the little children come to me, and do not stop them, because the kingdom of heaven belongs to such as these. I assure you, whosoever does not welcome the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter into it. Now this passage, the account of how Jesus, we see the expression of Christ's love, value, and how He wanted the children. Can't you just picture Him, that He would come and that mother, I mean, you can't help but think about politicians and stuff like that, kissing babies and all. But I've seen the pictures. I remember as a boy in our Sunday school rooms, our Sunday school wing at the church my father pastored, seeing a picture that he was sitting on a rock and there would be children around him. And that's one of the only times I remember seeing a picture of Jesus with a smile on his face. And that made an impression on me. I think Jesus smiled a lot. I think he was a joyful man. And I believe we need to recognize where his joy was found. It was because he loved the Father, and through the Father, he loved the people. And I can just picture him taking these young babies up in his arms, these young toddlers around him. And he didn't worry about if they had sticky on their jaws or grocery store feed or anything like that. He just was loving on them in the moment. And you can also read it over in the book of Matthew, chapter 19, beginning in verse 13. Then were there brought unto him little children, that he should put his hands on them and pray. Amen. So I should have put my hands on my youngest more often. It goes on to say, And the disciples rebuked them. But Jesus said, Suffer the little children and forbid them not to come unto me, for such is the kingdom of heaven. And he laid hands on them and then departed. And then if you look over in Mark chapter 10, beginning in verse 13, it says, And they brought the little children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased and said unto them, allow the children to come to me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. Verily or truly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And Jesus took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. So we see that it's a heartwarming picture. Praise God. Sister Tammy, it just sounds like that through the person of the Holy Spirit and God's Word, the Lord just took you up in his arms this week and brought you. I mean, what a picture that is. But it's also a cautionary tale. There's a warning in this passage that we can skip over, and that's the attitude of the apostles. The way that those that were closest to the Lord flat missed the love and what He wanted for those children in His life. If you remember, this passage comes on the heels in the book of Luke, chapter 18, verses 9 through 14. We see the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. And in that, we see the religious man, but in that religious man, the Pharisee, we also see the attitude of pride. You remember, the Bible says that when he went in to pray, who'd he pray to? He prayed to himself. And remember, what was he thankful for? Not for the Messiah to come, not for the grace and the mercy of God. He said this, I'm thankful that I'm not like other people. I'm an elite. My religion and my belief make me better than others. And he said, I'm glad I'm not like extortioners. I'm thankful that I'm not like adulterers. And praise God, I'm not like that tax collector. You see, he had a religious elitist attitude. Now, he might admit I may not be perfect, but by golly, I'm not like the rest of the world. And you remember, then we have the tax collector. And he wouldn't even so much as lift up his eyes in prayer. And he beat himself on the chest, a sign that he knew he was worthy of punishment. And then he just prayed, have mercy. And Jesus said, remember one of the two questions we asked was, what if Jesus would have stopped the parable right there? Which one would we have said would have been went home just in the eyes of his Creator? Most of us would say, well, it's the religious one. He gave his tithe. He did all the religious acts such as eating of the, withholding. He fasted twice a week. And many people today are relying on their religious actions and on their traditions of belief to get them into heaven. But what did Jesus say? Not the religious, not the Pharisee, but the one, the dregs of society. The one that the religious man was grateful he wasn't like. Jesus said that man went home justified that day. And so we ask two questions. What if Jesus would have stopped the parable before explaining who was justified? And would that Pharisee have washed the feet of that tax collector? Because if you remember, we also referenced over to the book of John. And we see where Jesus went up into the upper room. And that night, if you remember, we looked at and we talked about how that, James and John had a request of Jesus right before he went into the upper room the week before. And what, you remember what that request was? What was it? Can we sit at your right hand and on your left hand when you come into your kingdom? Again, the ones closest to Jesus were missing it. The most religious of the bunch had the wrong attitude. They were worried about, what am I going to do? Where am I going to be? When Jesus is about to go to the cross so that whosoever might be saved. If you remember, we saw in the Pharisee, we saw three things about him. His pride in his life was revealed by his religious elitism. The pride in his life was revealed by the attitude he held or the value he placed on religious rituals and accomplishments. And then also, the Pharisee's pride was revealed by the way he used his religion to devalue others. The way he used his religion to devalue others. And I thank God that he's allowing me to see that some things that I used to call conviction were just things I don't like. And I would manipulate things and try to use it. And praise God, if we're going to touch the world around us, then we've got to get real with ourselves. We've got to be willing to deal with the sin in our lives. And the whole idea behind this is pride. And we're entering into Pride Month. What else should I be preaching on, right? But not that pride. The pride that you and I carry in ourselves that we don't even know that we have. You see, in the Bible, it's called vainglory. Vainglory. And it's the core and the root of all sin. You look at Lucifer over in Ezekiel 28 and Isaiah 14. What it says, there's a description of the king, but it's also a description of Satan. And what was it? I am going to be like the Most High. I am going to lift myself up on the highest mountain. I'm going to be what I want to be. And then you see over in the original sin, Adam and Eve, what was it? They looked at the fruit, wanted the fruit, thought they should have had the fruit, and so they ate the fruit. Never did they acknowledge God, the circumstances, or how their choice would affect anyone else. It was all about me, 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 I, now, now, now. And see, pride is one of those that we'll admit it's a sin, won't we? Pride goeth before the fall and a haughty spirit before destruction. Amen. But you see, pride is different from lust, adultery, and lying. Pride is sneaky. And we can pick it out in others, but it's so deceptive to us. I mean, think about it. As human beings and even as Americans, we take pride. We embrace it and value it. Pull yourself up by the bootstraps, right? We're proud of where we've come from. We're proud to where we've made it to. We're proud of our promotions. We're proud of our positions. We're proud of our kids. We're proud of our grandkids. We're proud of our family name, and we're proud of their accomplishments. You see how deceptive pride is. I mean, it's so sneaky, and I said this last time, but this is how deceitful I am to myself. God will reveal pride in my life, and I'll be like, Lord, get this pride out of my life. Thank you, God, for forgiving me of my pride. And then I'll get to thinking this. I wonder how many other people confess their pride. You know, I'm a good man, because I'm not prideful. But you see, that's how we manipulate ourselves. That's how this flesh and our mentality beats us up all the time. So, if you remember, pride had entered into the apostles. The Bible says over in Mark chapter 10, verse 41, it says that the other 10 became indignant because of the request that John and James made. And so we see that while Jesus is looking at the cross, he's having to teach on what it means to have the attitude of his children. And that's what we see in chapter 18 of Luke. What he's doing in that parable is he's saying there's two attitudes that we can have. There's two ways of thinking. We can have that religious attitude, and you know what? You can do all the right things, look all the right ways, but that doesn't mean you have the right attitude. It doesn't mean you're a Christian. And you may look like the dregs of the earth, and you may be hated by most of the population, but yet you can still be justified in the eyes of God. And so we move, now think about this, now we're getting into the sermon, okay? We move from Jesus' teaching on humility compared to pride. He taught that in the Pharisee and the Sadducee. There was a lesson he taught. Now, immediately, we move into application. Jesus goes from in class to in action. And so this morning, while we're looking at Jesus and those children coming to him, we're seeing that Jesus takes us from the parable into the life situation. And he begins to show us how that pride cannot accomplish what he's called us to accomplish, and how that we must have an attitude of a child and not the attitude of pride. And I believe there's at least three things that we can find in this passage that we need to take away. There's probably a whole lot more, but this is all he'd give me, okay? The first thing is this. Christ Jesus loves the weak and the lowly of our society. Christ Jesus loves the weakest and the lowliest of our society. Look there in verse 16a. But Jesus called them unto Him and said, "Suffer, allow these little children to come to Me. I want the weak ones for Myself. I want to touch them. I want to love them. I want them to encounter Me. Don't forbid it." Now, the word there, infant, means a newborn. That means babies, man. That means if you don't hold them right or you jiggle them, amen, Sister Hannah, if you jiggle them too hard, they're going to spit up on you. You're going to get dirty. It might not smell great while you're holding that little one. But none of that mattered to Jesus. All that mattered was their encounter with Him. That from that point on, at least one time in their life, they knew what it was to feel the love and the impact of a God that had created them. If you look, it also calls them children. That means probably below the age of 12. They were toddlers and on up is what it was. They were not able to do on their own. They were dependent upon their parents. Now, as you read the Bible, talking about that Jesus loves the weakest and lowliest, we have the picture of children, and we know that that means that they were not fully grown adults, meaning that they didn't have the strength, the capability, and all that to take care of themselves. But we also got to carry it to another level, right? We've got to take it to the spiritually childish. Those that are not mature in their relationship with the Lord. Those that may have never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. They are spiritual children. And today, we may not consider those around us, especially if they look like they've got gray hair or they've got wrinkles on their face. We don't look at them and think novice. We don't look at them and think child, but let me tell you this, the Lord does. The Lord does. And there's one thing clear throughout Scripture. The beggars, the blind, the poor, the wounded, the weak, the widow, the orphans, all of them are special in the eyes of our Creator. Matter of fact, in James chapter 1, verse 27, it says, "Pure religion and undefiled of the before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless, the orphans, and the widows in their affliction, and to keep unspotted from the world." It means to love the weak and lowly, and to seek to be right in your actions with God. These are the type of people that are near and dear to God. But yet, these are the ones that the religious crowd shamed Jesus for spending time with. Remember? Oh, He's friends with drunks. Matthew chapter 11, verses 18 and 19. John came neither eating nor drinking, and they said, "He's got a demon." Then the Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they said, "Look at Him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners, a friend to the dirty and the crooked." Hallelujah, thank God He's a friend to the dirty and the crooked. Amen? Yet wisdom is justified by our deeds. I put this down. He's a friend of frauds. He's a friend of frauds. And praise God, He takes the fraud and makes him a child of the faith. Let me ask you this. As we think about how Christ loves the weak and lowly, ask yourself, do I love the weakest and the lowly of our society? Or do I have my eyes on a certain model? Is there a cookie cutter view? And if they fit in that, then I find value and worth in them. But if they don't fit in that cookie cutter, I just keep passing by. Huh? It's hard, ain't it? It's hard. You see, there is where we grasp hold of our pride and our religious elitism, and we put it with the things we don't care for, and we feel justified.
Now, this is real preaching now. This is brass tacks. This is stuff we got to deal with if we'll see revival, if we'll see a move. Jesus loves the lowly and the weak. The next thing is this. Again, remember, we have to rehearse these things because we'll forget them. They've got to ever be before us. We see, just like in the request made by John, or James and John, that those that are closest to the Lord clearly had the wrong attitude. Clearly had the wrong attitude. Now Jesus is saying, get them babies to me. Let me kiss on them. Let me love on them. Let me just spend some time with them. But what are the apostles saying? What are the 12 saying? Look what it says. It says they rebuked the parents. The word rebuke means they denounced them, expressing strong disapproval to warn them, implying a threat. They were saying, don't you do it. Don't even think about it. He ain't got time for you. And you know what? I bet they were out of a good heart. I really do. I think they were doing it. They probably thought Jesus has had a long day. He's been teaching. He's done dealt with a lot of people. They've been coming and going all day long. He don't need to deal with these brats. Maybe that the children are crying. Oh, and they stinking. And they got fish juice on their mouth where they just had lunch, and they're going to wipe it on this new clean clothes that had just got done. No, we did it yesterday. They should have been here yesterday if they wanted that. There's a special time. They know there's a special time and a special place where we wrote things off and we give their time to Jesus. And if they're going to do it, they should have been here at that time. Right? I mean, that and that's genuine. But again, that's human reasoning. That's human emotion is what they're trusting right there. They're not trusting the teachings of God. They're not trusting the heart of Christ. They didn't ask Jesus what he thought. They rebuked him. Now, the parents, the Bible says that parents have a duty to their children. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, it says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they are old, they should not depart from it. But let me ask you, how do you think those parents felt about followers of Christ after they dealt with the apostles that day? Do you think they wanted their children to have the attitude of the apostles? Could it be that the world around us have seen some type of religious attitude and they're saying, if that's what Christianity is, I don't want it. You see, every action has a reaction. Every attitude produces another attitude. But Jesus, notice what Jesus said. It says in Mark chapter 10, verse 13, it says, when Jesus saw it, it says that he was much displeased. That's heartbreaking because you know what that means? It means that Jesus felt pain. When he saw the attitude of those that bore his name, and think about this, they were the faces of his ministry. They're the faces of his ministry. And when he saw the faces of his ministry and the attitude that they were showing to the ones he valued, he felt pain inside. Now, I want to tell you something. The Bible says this over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. It says, therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, certain that God is appealing through us, meaning that God is using us to draw others. We plead on his behalf. Be reconciled to God. You know what the word ambassador means? The word ambassador means a representative. It means that you're the face of. You know, we just said, and I heard a from somebody, that when we said that the face of his ministry, the faces of his ministry, brought him pain when he saw them engage with the one he loves. Do you know what? If you profess to be a Christian today, you're the face of his ministry. You're the representative. I'll tell you something else. If you're a member of Thomas Billings Baptist Church, you're an ambassador for this church. That's secondary to your ambassadorship to Christ. But let me tell you, when you become an ambassador, you know what you do? you give up certain rights. You know what? We can't demand our rights anymore. Why? Because we're His ambassador. We can't demand our privileges anymore. Why? Because we're His ambassador. We're the face of His ministry. And if we're going to be the face, we got to ask ourselves, are we bearing the right attitude? Or are we missing it? Because are we better than Peter, James, and John? Are we more spiritual than Thomas and Andrew? And they missed it. Could we be? Could we be allowing self, pride, and our traditions to cause us to look over what's the most important? And that's the people. That's the people. The closest ones to Christ clearly display the wrong attitude. Now, the last thing I want us to look at this morning is I want us to look at that there is a certain attitude that Christ displayed. And He says, I want you to display that of a child. And I have lost my notes, so we might fly through this real quick this morning. But as we look at it, notice what He says. He says, there are certain traits that need to be displayed. Now, He doesn't use those words flat out, but what does He say? He says, suffer the little children to come unto Me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. It, verily or truly I say unto you, whoever shall not receive the kingdom in the manner of a child, then they're not a part of it. What does it say? It says, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter in. Meaning that they are not a part. They're not a citizen of My kingdom. Now, the first thing that I believe we need to look at, and I'm winging it right now, okay, so let's just go with it. The first thing we need to look at is that there has to be total trust. Total trust. Man, an example. How many of you, and my days is gone, but you had a youngin' and you'd put them on the highest stoop. Or you'd go to the deepest part of the pool. And you'd have that child stand there, and all it took, they wasn't worried about how deep, they wasn't worried how far. All they knew was that mama or daddy was standing there, and when daddy or mama said jump, they didn't care with reckless abandon, they just flew out to you. You know what that is? Absolute trust. Absolute trust. All they knew was, I can trust my parent. I'm not going to question the depth. I'm not going to ask the why. I'm not going to ask the where. I'm just going to trust my parent. And if we're going to have the attitude of Christ, like Sister Tammy was talking about, it's not always easy. But sometimes you just got to jump. Sometimes you just got to go. Sometimes you can't go by what you feel. You can't go by what you see. Hey, with AI stuff, you better not go with what you hear or what you see. We're living in a time where we must serve Him. And if we're going to have the right attitude, if we're going to display the traits of kingdom people, then it begins with total trust. The next thing is, what is the next one there? What is B? Read it to me. What does it say? Huh? Humility. Not humility. Now, think about a child. Does a child care at a certain age? It may not last forever. But does a child care where they're at when you change their diaper? They don't give a rip. You know what? If they need help in the bathroom, they'll walk into the biggest room of people and say, come help me. You know what? They don't question about I'm better than this one. Or I can't allow that one to see me in a such position. I can't let them get this information about me because if they do, they'll use it against me. They don't care. They don't care. They just are being who they are. They want to play with somebody. They want to have a relationship with somebody. You know that racism and all that, we teach it to children. It's not inbred. All this stuff about gender and all that. A youngin' don't know nothing about that. That's been taught to them. But notice, as a child, what is humility? Now, as adults, we get to thinking, I am somebody. I've been in this community for 25 years. I've put time and effort into that church. And in our minds we'll say, I'll do this, but I won't stoop that low anymore. I've done earned my right to not do that. You see, that's a part of hurt. Think about a child. The older you get, a child begins to question you. Mine questioned me every day, all the time, about everything. I loved it when you could say, because I said so, man. That was the most wonderful thing, and they bought it, you know. But what happens? We get hurt in our lives. We fall a few times. Then we think, is Daddy going to be there? Then we think about, well, what are they going to think if they see me fall? You see the humility. The next thing is this. We need to have a childlike wonder, a sense of wonder. Man, give a child a piece of tinfoil, an empty box, or a magnifying glass in a backyard, and they can find some of the most amazing things throughout the day. I mean, they'll stay busy, they'll work, they'll do all that, but you give us the same things and we'll have the attitude, been there, done that, got a t-shirt. Ain't nothing special about that. But the Bible tells us this in Isaiah 64:4, for since the beginning of the world, men have not heard nor perceived by ear, neither have they seen, O God, beside you, what you have prepared for them that are waiting for you, that are serving you. God wants us to be amazed at Him. Who loves you like Jesus? Who's done so much for you as Jesus? Who has gone into another realm to prepare you a place because He loves you that much? And then, now that's all. What about daily things? Up to this point, every day I've prayed, God has met every one of my needs. Up to this point, it may not have been the way I figured it, but He's never forsaken me. He's always been there. Wow. Wow. How much are we missing? How much are we not recognizing? You see, we've become looking at the sun. We've become blinded by His goodness. At rehearsal Friday night, and I preached this to John. I said, there's something about when you're going to see your wife for the first time and she's adorned as your bride. And everything she's done to show herself to you. And so yesterday, we were there. I seen her get out, and I told him to look at me on the rehearsal Friday night. I said, you don't look back there until you hear that music. And I tell everybody to stand, and you can turn back there. But when she got out the truck, she's so pretty. I said, John, look. Look, he wouldn't look. He stayed. He kept. I don't know if he heard me or not, but I said, go ahead, son, look. And when he turned, you could see it in his face. You could see it in his face. I told him, you just wait. It'll be like Bush said, shock and awe, man, shock and awe. And you know what? I believe if we long to see our Lord and His love and His works in our life with the eyes of a child, He'll give us the desires of our heart. The next thing is this, that we must be receptive. We must receive what God's had for us. What does a 3- and 4-year-old child do when you say, I got you something, and you bring out this old glitzy wrap box? Do they say, what's the catch? No, you know what they do? They just start flinging wrapping paper, buddy. And it's just everywhere. And even if it ain't their gifts, other youngins want to come and help them get in their gifts. That's how awesome. They all want to receive it, you know. But what about you and me? If I walked up to you today with a nice package and I said, hey, got you something, and I stuck it out, what you going to say? What's going on, man? You kidding me? What's the catch, huh? You ain't never got me nothing like that. Right? Are we that way spiritually? Huh? The Bible says, He's got gifts galore. Every day there's a gift. Every day He has something for us to receive. But think about something else about a child. A child has to receive the love from the parent. The child must receive the care, the provisions, the clothing, everything. They're dependent upon the parent. That's the way we have to be to our God. This is the attitude we must have. Are we receptive today? Because see, I think some people might have confused it where Jesus says we must come as a child. He doesn't mean childish, self-centered, whiny, all about me. He means childlike, as a child, in the manner of. And then the last thing is this. Children are willing to forgive. You know what? I remember, and with my youngins, they'd have knocked down, drag out, and I'd tell one of them, apologize to the other one, and give them a hug. And used to that worked. And in church, I've seen it, and you know what? They do that. Next thing you know, they beating up somebody else, right? I mean, that's just the way it goes. They back together. May have problems with somebody else, but they back together. They listen to the parent. They listen to the parent. And I told you this. I believe the more I grow in Christ, and we're going to wrap it up here, the older I get in Christ, I believe there's two things that display how close we are to Christ. And that is, number one, how we love one another. And number two, a willingness to forgive. A willingness to forgive. And so today, as our piano player and our song director come, last week we looked at the wrong attitude. Or 2 weeks ago we looked at the wrong attitude. I pray, and my prayer has been the same for you as it's been to me. God, display in me the attitude I have and how that attitude must be changed to have the right attitude. Now today we've looked at that attitude that Christ says we need to have. And he says, you know, we've got to humble ourselves. Remember, that's what he told them there in the upper room. That's what he told them there when he told the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. We got to make ourselves humble yourselves in the eyes of the Lord. And he will lift you up, is what Scripture says. And so today, can I say, and I'm not speaking for you, but I'd like for you to ask yourself this question. Can I say that I have the right attitude? Do I have the right attitude? Am I trusting in the Lord? Absolutely. Or doing my best? Am I willing to humble myself? Not judge myself by others, but by my Creator. Am I wanting to see the wonder in His works and His love? Am I willing to forgive? And what was the other one? Am I receptive to what He wants me to have? Am I receptive to what He wants me to have? Because if our attitudes aren't right, I'd say that those traits aren't in our lives. Maybe today it's not about the right attitude. Maybe it's today that you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. Because here's the thing. We can't expect anybody else to be but who they are. And if a person doesn't know Christ, they're not going to have the attitude of Christ. They're not going to want to live like Christ. They're not going to want to be around the people of Christ. The house of Christ isn't going to matter. But I tell you what, the Bible says when He comes into your life, you're changed. You're changed. You become a new person. And today I'd love to show you what Scripture says. Maybe today, because see, the bad thing is that we carry this sinful flesh with us everywhere. And remember, there's that constant battle. What did Paul say? The good I want to do, I can't do. And the bad that I don't want to do, I'm doing. And man, it's just all the time fighting. And you know what? There's going to be a day of victory. That day's coming. And God didn't say, you have to be perfect right now. He just says, you need to make the effort. Make the effort. Because I've won the victory. Will you engage in the battle with me? So whatever your need might be, maybe you need to join today. Maybe you need to go grab somebody by the hand. Tell them you love them. May not like them sometimes, but maybe you just need to let them know you love them. But whatever the need is, what would a child do in that situation? How would a child respond? Because see, that's what Jesus says we need to be doing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer as we stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, in Jesus' name, I thank You and I praise You for this day. I'm thankful for the truth in Your Word, that it's not always easy to swallow, but it's always the right thing. Lord, change me from within. In Jesus' name, amen. Won't You come this morning?
Amen. Sing one. Let's sing the chorus. Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
Thank you for being here this morning. Do we have any prayer needs or words of praise before we close? Heat pump. Amen. Praise God. My upstairs one's gone out now. Did I see one over here? Amen. Amen. My goodness. We'll do it. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. All right. Brother J.C. Starnes, would you close us out in a word of prayer?
Let's pray. Dear Lord, our kind, gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for another opportunity to be in your house. Thank you for letting us to be able to come together in fellowship. And most of all, Lord, just be able to come and worship you. Thank you most of all for your Son. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for everything you do for us. Lord, we ask you to be with each and every person as they go home and bring them back to the next point in time. Be with their pastor, be with their family, be with all their prayer requests that we've had this morning, Lord. We love you and we appreciate everything you do. In Jesus' holy and precious name, amen.